heard a lot of great messages here at the camp meeting being brought here and by my parents and my grandparents, and I dated my wife here before we were even married. But I've heard a lot of great messages, but the best message that I ever heard was on June the 25th, 2004, 15 years ago tomorrow, about 10 o'clock, the Holy Ghost preached to me where I was, told me that I was a sinner and I was going to hell and I needed Christ. And even before I was midways back, and even before Preacher Steve got up to the platform, I'd called him right here. And I said, I need to be saved. And I knelt down right there at the piano and asked the Lord to save me. Thank God that he did. I appreciate Preacher Steve and his family and Calvary Baptist Church, and appreciate my family and my church and my pastor being here. But I want to preach and get out of the way. If you have your Bibles, turn to Exodus chapter 5. Exodus chapter 5. And for sake of time, I'll just read. I won't have you to stand. I'll preach and get out of the way. Chapter 5 and verse 1. And afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. And they said, the God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. We know that Pharaoh, he denied Moses and the children of Israel to leave that Egyptian bondage. And his hand, it strengthened upon that nation of Israel. He took away their straw and he said, you have to make the same amount of bricks without the straw that we give you. So then God, he turns the water into blood. He sends the frog. He turns the dust of the land into lice. He sends the swarm of flies. And so now Pharaoh, he begins to try to compromise with Moses. Pharaoh realizes that the God of Moses is not one of the false gods of Egypt, but he is too powerful for Pharaoh and for his God. So he tries to compromise Moses into fully obeying the word and the will of God for the people of Israel. So we want to look at these Egyptian compromises. And by the way, these same Egyptian compromises come to you and to me by the God of this world in the day in which we live. Chapter 8 and verse 25. Pharaoh, he called for Moses and for Aaron and said, go ye sacrifice to your God in the land. Remember, God told him to go out 3 days' journey, but Pharaoh said, you stay here and you sacrifice in the land. This is my first compromise. Now, Pharaoh, he probably said, there's no reason for you to leave Egypt. Just conform to the ways of Egypt. There's some very pleasurable things here in Egypt. Make yourselves at home. Just blend in with the other Egyptians. Let your guard down. You're welcome here. You know that Egypt is a very religious place. We believe in many gods also. We're tolerant of all faiths. There are many places of worship already here in Egypt. You should go to maybe these churches in Egypt and see how they worship in flesh and in emotion. But the best part about staying in Egypt and worshiping your God is that there's no accountability. You can come in the way you are and you can leave the way you came and you can live that worldly life that you've always lived. Isn't that something that you want to commit to? Something that you really don't have to commit to anyways? Doesn't that sound good? And I can hear Moses. He couldn't hold his tongue any longer and he says, what communion hath light with darkness? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of gods with idols? Pharaoh, we can't stay in Egypt. We can't blend in with the religious systems of Egypt. Egypt is very religious, and there are many places to so-called worship here in Egypt, but ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. We see you worshiping in flesh and in emotion. But we know the truth that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. There's something wrong with religious systems in Egypt. Hey, we invite people to come in as they are, but our prayer is that they would leave differently, a new creature in Christ, in the Lord. We don't boast in our numbers, but we seek genuine conversions of each lost sinner that walks through our doors. Hey, there's religion in 1,000 names here in Egypt. Literally 2,000 gods in ancient Egypt, but nothing gets better. Everything just gets worse. How can we stay in Egypt? How can we possibly please God and stay in this wicked place? We must take our place by faith and follow our Savior without the camp bearing his reproach. We can't run around with the people that we used to. We can't do the same things that we've always done, because although we're still in Egypt, Egypt is not in our hearts anymore. And God has told us to leave Egypt. And since God is the one that we are worshiping, we ought to mind his instructions how we are to approach him in worship. It would be more convenient to stay here in Egypt, but God has called us to come out and be ye separate. We could go off a tradition, but we want to go off how God has told us in his word to worship him. Haven't you heard of Lot? Hey, he was a just man, but he lived in Sodom. And his son-in-laws, whenever he warned them of God's wrath and judgment that were coming, hey, they thought he was just mocking and making fun because he had lived with them in that filth for all those years. We must be separate for this world to take us seriously. Verse 28, here's the second compromise. Pharaoh, he offered the first compromise. Moses rejected it. And so Pharaoh, he offers a lesser degree of a compromise. He's trying to bargain the will of God with Moses here. In verse 28, Pharaoh says, he says, "You can go sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only ye shall not go very far away." He said, "You can go, but don't get too far out there. Don't go that 3 days' journey that God has told you to." You know, Pharaoh probably said, "You can leave Egypt, but don't go too far away." Isn't that much better? Don't get too far out there. Don't get too far out of the reach of Egypt. Hey, stay close. It's okay. Stay close to where you can still see the sights of Egypt, where you can still hear the sounds of Egypt, and where it still has a persuasion on your life. Don't get too narrow-minded. Don't become too much of a fanatic. Don't become an extremist. Don't become a Bible thumper. Don't become a religious bigot. If you see others living contrary to what your God has says and what your Bible teaches, just hold your tongue. Just keep silent. Just smile and enjoy the diversity of others in your land. Be considerate and recognize that your God is not the only God in the land. Don't be so simple-minded to believe that there's only one way of salvation, one way to heaven. By the way, pick up a bumper sticker that says coexist and slap it on your chariot as you go out. And that Bible in your hands, Moses. I still can't believe that someone like you would still be carrying that old black-back King James Bible. Don't you know that there's some learned scholars down in Alexandria? By the way, your Bible comes from Alexandria, Egypt, or Antioch in Syria. By the way, we've got some scholars in Alexandria, and they've taken that old, out-of-date King James Bible. Guess what? And they've made it more up-to-date. They've made it easier to understand. They've made it sinner-friendly. Hey, you don't want to be called old-fashioned anymore, do you? Trade your Bible in. Get a newer model. But Moses, he said, "Pharaoh, you know what God has commanded us. We can't just stay nearby Egypt. God has told us to go 3 days' journey apart from Egypt. You and I don't have the right to lower the standard. Hey, we don't have the right to live as close or as far away from Egypt as we think and as close to Egypt as we can and still please God. We must separate ourselves 3 days' journey. By the way, 3 days in the Bible, we're getting on holy ground. Hey, that's resurrection ground. That's the full length from the cross to the resurrection of Christ. So we must be separated from this land, Egypt, of sin and death by the resurrection power of Christ. The Bible says the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. And like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Hey, we can't serve God with our eyes still on Egypt. Brother James said that a double-minded Christian is unstable in all his ways. If you want to be a borderline Christian, guess what? Christians won't respect you. The Egyptians won't respect you either. So you might as well go all in with God. Amen. I believe that I can't ever get too far from the mindset and practice of Egypt, Pharaoh. Even though I was raised by Pharaoh's daughter in the palace, hey, I've never felt at home. I've never felt content. There is nothing here in godless Egypt that has my heart and that appeals to me. I've seen the construction of the great treasure cities of Egypt, Python and Ramses. I've seen the pyramids and I've seen the palace, but my heart cannot be any farther from Egypt. Like Abraham, I don't seek a treasure city of Egypt, but I'm looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. All of the gods of Egypt are nothing. Everybody knows that. Our God says, before me there is no God formed, neither shall there be after me. There is only one God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Jehovah God, the I am that I am. When we see others living in sin and living in sinful lifestyles here in Egypt, we can't just be sinfully silent. We can't just let it go. We can't just let these Egyptians go on to believe that there are many ways to heaven whenever there's only one. Because guess what? We're not of Egypt, but we have love for the people of Egypt. Our Savior says that He is the way, the only way, that He is the truth, the only truth, that He is the only life. And no man comes to the Father but by our Lord and our Savior. By the way, you can't have my Bible, Pharaoh. Hey, I wouldn't hand over the precious word of God to some apostate in Alexandria where he can tear out of my Bible and add to as he pleases. Because I've been in some hard times, Pharaoh. I've been on the backside of the desert. And this precious word of God has given me strength and encouragement and hope. And you can't have my Bible. So he gives the third compromise. If you'll look in chapter 10 and verse 10. Or verse 8, Pharaoh says, okay, go serve the Lord your God, but who's going with you? Well, guess what Moses said? Our young, our old, our sons, our daughters, our flocks, our herds, all of us and all we have, we are getting out of Egypt like God has told us. Well, here's the third compromise. And he said unto them, let the Lord be so with you, as I will let you go, and your little ones, look to it, for evil is before you. Not so. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord. So Pharaoh says, okay, Moses and all of the adults, you can leave. You can make your exit and go 3 days' journey out into Egypt, but your children can't go. We're going to keep your children. So I believe Pharaoh, he told him, he said, you know what? He said, this Moses and Aaron, they're crazy. They're hard-headed. Hey, they're setting their ways. Yeah. Hey, this crowd with the white hairs and the blue hairs. Hey, Egypt is not going to change them. They're already sure that they're already standing until they die on their faith. But you know what? Yeah. We can keep their children. Sure. And you know what? We can teach them the ways of Egypt. We can teach them to where they won't ever believe like the Hebrews again, to where they'll never act like the Hebrews again, where they'll never talk like the Hebrews again, where they'll never dress like the Hebrews again. Guess what? Our boys, our little Egyptian boys, will marry their little girls and vice versa. And before you know it, those Hebrew characteristics and distinctions of God's people, they will be gone. Hey, we will wipe God's people off of the face of the earth. Once we take over their children. I believe Pharaoh probably said, Moses, Now, don't you want what's best for your children? Don't make them follow you. Don't be too hard on them. Don't you know that the best schools are here in Egypt? Don't you know that the best job opportunities are here in Egypt? Don't you want them to succeed? You don't want them to be failures, do you? Don't you want them to be well off? Don't force your children to be Christians. Hey, let them run around with their Egyptian friends. Let them take spouses out of Egypt. Let them live their own Egyptian dream. Moses. I believe Moses, he probably said, now what kind of people would we be if we would go out 3 days' journey to worship our God and we would leave our children here in Egypt to be raised by a nation of idolaters, to be taught by godless people, to be influenced by the Egyptian world system. Hey, Pharaoh, as long as they're living under our roof, hey, they're going out to worship with us. Hey, we're not going to drop them off there at the tabernacle either. We're not going to drop them off at Sunday school. We're going to go to the house of God with them. Hey, and you know, if Moses Jr., if he has a ball tournament and they got a game on Sunday, guess what? We're going to wave at them as we go to the house of God. Hey, they need to be in this kind of atmosphere. They need to see mama and daddy worship. They need to see grandma and grandpa testify. Hey, even if our children, even if they succeeded in Egypt and they didn't give their life to our God, they would be failures. If our children grew up in Egypt, if they earned a 4-year degree, if they are earning a 6-figure salary annually, if they die lost and go to hell, then they are utter failures. And guess what? If we as parents, if we don't raise them up in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord, if we don't pray for them, if we don't make them wise unto salvation, hey, we've failed as parents as well. Hey, by the way, God's already working in our children's lives. He's already touched a lot of their little hearts. He's already saved my boys, thank God. Hey, even these young children, they put to shame a lot of us adults in the worship service. Guess what? You can't have our children, Pharaoh. Amen. But lastly, in chapter 10, verse 24, remember the locusts came, there was a darkness that could be felt. That's why Pharaoh kept on making these compromises. And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye serve the Lord, only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. He said, okay, Moses, you and your generation, your children, y'all can go, but all your stuff has to stay here in Egypt. And Moses said, thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not an hoof be left behind. Hey, for thereof must we take to serve the Lord our God, and we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come thither or there. Hey, Moses, he didn't know what the rest of the will of God was, but he knew that he first had to get out of Egypt. And he knew that whenever he himself and everyone in his family got out and all of his stuff got out, God would continue to reveal his will to him. That's how God works. He said, if I can't keep Moses and Israel in Egypt in defeat, hey, playing in their sins, hey, I'll just send them out with nothing to serve God with. I'll keep everything that they have. Amen. I believe Moses said, this is who we are, Pharaoh. Hey, the animals, this is how we make our living. Hey, we are shepherds. We're not just going to give God the Lord's day and give you and give Egypt our work week. Hey, we're going to give the Lord Sundays. We're going to give the Lord Mondays. Hey, we know that we are not our own, but we've been bought with a price. Everything that all that we are and all that we have belongs to God. Hey, we believe as shepherds there on the field, God can use us. As fishermen on the rivers and on the seas, God can use us. As factory workers, God can use us. In the hospital, God can use us. In the business office, hey, God can use us. God can use us. We're going to bloom where God has planted us. Hey, there's a battle going on this morning for our Christian integrity and our sanctification? Is there not a cause to stand up for God, for His Word, for our testimony, for the heritage that we will leave our children whenever we pass on? Or we as Christians, like so many others, will we just roll over and play dead and bow to liberalism, political correctness, and surrender to the enemies of the truth? Hey, this Pharaoh, he drowned in the Red Sea, didn't he? He drowned in the Red Sea. But the one this Pharaoh represents, he is still alive and well today, the God of this world. But the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. But then there's this command, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Amen. Thank you.
Don't you appreciate that preaching? Amen.